Well, friends, we are so glad that you're joining us this morning. We are still in a series of our summer series called Hall of Faith, as we look at those Hall of Famers who of faith that the Bible records in Hebrews chapter 11 as people who lived the way of Jesus and the way of faith. And so we, as disciples of Jesus who want to become more like him, want to be good apprentices after Jesus, we look to those who struggled but did it right. And this week, we're talking about Moses, and his story is huge. But one of the things that it talks about in Hebrews is this idea of like the way that he chose to walk. And we did a lot of walking these last 2 weeks. We've gone, we had friends in town, and we went to, you know, when you have friends in town, you do like all the iconic things, right? And so we like, these are friends who kind of aren't in very beautiful places. So we took them to Mount Rainier. And if you've been to Mount Rainier and you've been on, if you walk the paths, there's one path that's really deceiving. If you're on the Skyline Trail and you're going towards Panorama Point, you start on a very nice like path, right? It's paved, you think it's good, and then all of a sudden, within like half a mile, you do like 1,000 feet. And you're like, what in the world? And so like, as you see, you like test yourself, like you think you might be like in good shape, and then all of a sudden you're like, and then except then you have a 6-year-old that's like, la 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 la, right? Like, but that's like the good part. Like you enjoy that part for the kids and you as a parent are struggling. But then like the struggle is real later because what they've done lately is they've taken the path and it used to be like go as you can so you could pass people really easily. You didn't always have to stop and give the right of way. But now they've put up these new ropes that mark out the path. And so now you have to be like conscious of people. You can't like really pass people. You also can't just like go and just tromp through the place. And so like my kids, like if you ever know kids, like you see, they see a boundary and they see how far they can go outside of it, right? Like the kid is like, stay on the path. Don't like destroy the vegetation. And my son is like, hi, hi. And I just thought about that more and more as like the path. And we were talking about this idea of the way that Jesus called us to walk the path of being a disciple or apprentice of him. And this morning, we're just talking about this idea that the path of Jesus is narrow. The narrow path of Jesus. The faith is walking the narrow path of Jesus. To staying on the road, to staying in the place that you're called to walk, even though it might be hard, it might be difficult, it might be not what you want to do. And so we're going to talk about this idea of how Moses chose to walk this narrow path, giving a way for the Israelites who are becoming God's chosen people, learning and teaching them how to walk this morning. And so if you want to turn with me to chapter 11 of Hebrews, we're going to read this together. And so if you have a Bible in front of you, or if you have it, whether it's digital or physical, we just encourage you to open that up and to take a look at this. It says this. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what is visible. And then we're going to jump down to verse 24, or 20, yeah. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who was invisible. And by faith, he kept the Passover and the application of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. And by faith, the people passed through the Red Sea on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. Would you join me in prayer this morning? Father, we come here seeking you, seeking to understand who you are, and we come at different places. We come in different experiences on the path of faith. And so as we are all walking God, I pray that you would open our eyes to see you. God, that you would open our ears to hear you this morning, for you are speaking. And God, I pray that you would open our hearts and our minds for what you have for us, so that we may know you, and love one another better. God, we ask this in your name. Amen. One of the things and the words that you hear in there right at the beginning is that Moses, on his journey of leadership and being called to lead the people, was he did one thing, and I think this is just really important, is that Moses, when he had grown up, he refused to be known as Pharaoh's daughter, and then this one word, he chose. The narrow path is always a choice. The narrow path is always a choice of you walking on, of staying on, and continuing on. The narrow path is always a choice. And I was thinking about, if you know a little bit of Moses' stories, if you don't, I want to kind of help you walk through all the places that Moses continued to do. He chose to see his people who were abused by the Egyptians, right? Like he said, he refused to look away, and he saw the people. He saw his people being abused, and so he could not turn away. He chose to walk to the burning bush. Like, I don't know how many of you, if you saw a burning bush, would walk towards it. I think even of people of faith, if you know and you've heard like the story of the burning bush and what Moses was going to be asked to do, how many of you would be like, I see a burning bush, I know what that means, see you later, God, and walk the other way? Like, he chose to walk towards the bush. He also chose to go back to Egypt. Man, how comfortable it would have been to be in a place where you're establishing a family, establishing a business and a way of life, but he chose to go back to Egypt. He chose to identify with Israel and chose to identify with God. He chose to lead God's people out of Egypt, not only to go back, but to within the persecution, within the sight of a new Pharaoh, he chose to lead God's people out. And he chose to obey God at the edge of the sea when he knew or felt like all the doom was coming just around. He chose to stand there and believe that the Lord was going to make a way. To choose the narrow path of Jesus is always a choice. Always a choice. I mean, that's the thing, if we see it. And again, I want to put that scripture up there. By faith, yep, he chose to be mistreated along with the people of God. It wasn't just him being mistreated. He chose along with all of God's people. That means you and I are going to be mistreated rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. Like, this is the choice. Like, for us, what we can learn from Moses is that he is in this place, right? He was Pharaoh's daughter. He could have easily lived in a place of comfort, of ease, of abundance, in a place where he was now, like, even though he was adopted, he was in the palace. And he chose, instead of living a life of comfort, and chose, instead of living at peace with the world, he chose the narrow path. And that's often what we see here in our lives, is that tantalizing choice. The tantalizing choice, either the narrow road that has such temporal rewards that come and then fade, then the narrow path that leads to Christ, that is both fulfilling now, that you might have life now and in the life to come. That is the choice to these two roads, the narrow or the wide. And the choice is always there. Which one are you going to walk? You have to make a choice. And Moses, in that place of always making a choice, in every step of the way, he made a choice. And I don't think he knew that well aware, like God, when he was at the burning bush, he gave him just enough for the next step, but he doesn't give the whole story. Otherwise, sometimes if we know the whole story, I think if Moses knew what he was going to encounter, I think he might have said no. I know if I knew it all that was going to encounter in my life, I would have been like, nope, I'm not doing that. I'm not going that way. That's too hard. But it's always a choice. And I don't think we always know what we have in store of us. But that's why it's important to understand that walking the narrow path, perseverance is the character trait of those who are on the narrow path. Perseverance, right? Think of this, of what Moses encountered. So Moses, not only showing signs and wonders in front of the Egyptians, in front of the Pharaoh, gets them to lead them out to the Red Sea, parts the Red Sea. They walk through. The Egyptians try to come through. The Lord puts the sea back together. And then all of a sudden, on the other side, they're free. He's promised them. And then he brings them to the mountain. And God shows up in a cloud, covers the mountain in all of his majesty. Can you imagine, like, on Mount Rainier, the cloud descends, and you can understand that that is the presence of the Lord. And the people of God have the audacity then to be like, I don't know, let's make a calf, right? That God that looks all majestic, we need something tangible. Like, let's make a calf. Or even later, when he promises them, he's taking them into a place, a flowing of milk and honey, a place that's beautiful, that he's going to have for them. They're like, hey, why did you lead us out here? Can we just go back to Egypt? Can we go back to slavery? Like, this idea that in walking the narrow path for us, it is not only for Moses, but also for the people of Israel, that walking the narrow path is one of perseverance. It's not one of ease. It's one where you know that things are coming and you need to persevere, because the narrow path is not easy. Because I think some of us think that the narrow path is maybe that paved skyline trail, flat the whole way. The narrow path is not that. The narrow path is the right way, and it leads there. It says in verse 27, it says, by faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. We mentioned it, that we went to Rainier, and I want to show you something. Like, this is, I think, an image of maybe the two things that we think of when we talk about the narrow path. We're talking about the path of faith, the path of being a disciple of Jesus, an apprentice after Jesus, that sometimes we read things like the way is paved with gold, right? We think that this idea of, like, we're just on this lovely leisure walk. And that was our first week there on August 8th. We went to Rainier, and this was it. Look at the kids. Ah, they're so happy. It's beautiful behind them. This was also, if you've ever been there, this was at the potty at 6,400 feet. Like, that is the best thing. You're on for kids. Like, this is great. Like, great. It's beautiful. You can see everything around you. It's perfect conditions. It's a little hot, right? And so we have snacks, though, and we have water, and they have streams where you can fill up your water with cold, beautiful, clear glacier water that just is refreshing your soul. And you think, man, this is what it looks like to disciple. This is the bill of good that often is Christianity is sold as, like, this is the way it is. It's a beautiful stroll. 5 miles that your kids are smiling the whole time. Oh, it's heaven. Take your kids. Oh, beautiful. Your kids are not going to rebel. They're going to grow up in the name of Jesus, and it's going to be wonderful. This is like this is the first take of the shot. You don't need to take a second picture. It's perfect. August 15th, this is what it looked like. Look at those faces. This, a week later, can you tell me the dichotomy of living in this place without telling me that you live in this place? It goes from beautiful to, like, fog. It goes from 80 to 55 and rainy. We did not prepare. You see those, like, those shirts, those are not the kids. We dress them better than that. But ill-prepared parents take off their own clothes, buy merchandise that you shouldn't buy at the gift store. Like, right? Like, this is the road of faith. Like, this is literally it. You're sacrificing. I'm freezing so that my kids will, like, survive. This is the path of discipleship. It's not one or the other. It's both and. There are seasons where you will feel like following Jesus is a beautiful stroll in a beautiful place. You will have all that you need. You will have all the snacks. You will have all of the water. You will have the companionship. You will have all the good attitudes. And walking the narrow path will feel joyful. You'll get down and you'll look at it and be like, look what I just did. But the narrow path will also look like this. You can't see 100 feet in front of you. You don't know how far the trail goes until you've hit the plateau. you don't understand or see or have to pay attention to every step in front of you because it's covered with dirt that's now wet and it's slippery and now you have a ton of boo-boos and you don't have enough Band-Aids for all of them. But you get up and you walk forward. You get up. You pay attention. And in both places, you need to understand how to hydrate yourself. You need to know how to feed yourself. You need to know how to pace yourself. Because there's different seasons of the narrow path that require different levels of hydration, feeding, and pacing. And if you're not conscious of what your body is doing and what your spirit is doing, you will easily, easily give up. You will easily turn back. You will easily get discouraged. You will easily ask questions like, why am I doing what I am doing? Why did I even start out on this road? Why in the world, if I was standing at the trailhead of the narrow path and I looked at it and I knew all of what was going to happen, why in the world wouldn't I just stay down cozy in the visitor center and just wait until food was prepared for me? But the narrow path is so joyful in both of its trials, its tribulations, and in its celebrations. Because you look about where you've come from and where you are, and you can't do anything but celebrate. But here's the most important thing. Here's the thing that we need to understand. That we often get wrong. Again, first was that bill of sale. But the narrow path is one you cannot walk alone. You can't walk alone. You absolutely and utterly can't walk alone. Moses did not, in his leadership, walk alone. He had Aaron with him every step of the way. And while Aaron might have fumbled and bumbled and tripped and be the one who caused all of maybe the scars and broken bones in Israel, he also had somebody. He had somebody that walked with him. And you and I can't walk alone either. We have to learn to walk with one another. The journey of faith is never a solo trip, but is better done in the presence and the company of the body and blood of or the body of Christ and the disciples and the apprentice of Jesus. That once you start walking alone, when you find yourself ahead of the pack or behind or separated from the pack, that is when the moments of things come inside your head of what am I doing? I'm all alone. Is it worth it? Those moments when you feel like you are alone or you've actually put yourself in out of proximity to people is when you start to feel like, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to do it because I'm all alone. There's nobody with me. Life as a disciple is a narrow path, but it's not formed in a room isolated or on a path isolated from the rest of the disciples. Our life as disciples, apprentice of Jesus, is on the narrow path, is not formed by what you can consume in an hour each week. The life of a disciple on the narrow path is formed by the joy of companionship with Christ and other disciples. When you find life and faith hard, look at those who are or are not around you. Who is the company that you are keeping? Are they ones that are encouraging you in joy or encouraging you in the midst of trial and suffering? Jesus does not bid travelers on the narrow path, good luck. I hope I see you at the finish line. Even there, like I want you to see this text because there's a word in there that I think we miss often. It says, enter through the narrow gate. This is the words of Jesus in Matthew 7. And the Sermon on the Mount, when it's first teaching. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. And often we put the juxtaposition, and as pastors we do this too as well, is we say narrow and wide, and we often forget the words that are on there. There are people on that road. Even if the gate or the road is narrow and few find it, there's still people on the road. So why are you walking alone? The questions we should ask ourselves in, as we walk this narrow path, as we sit here today, is like, am I traveling alone? Am I trying to do this thing on faith alone? Even though maybe I show up here consistently in my hour, is this the only community time with other disciples that I have? It's not enough. Or am I walking the path without seeing the one who leads the path? Moses said he continued to have perseverance because he saw Jesus who was at the end of the path. Not because his best friend was on the path, but because he saw the one, the invisible one, who is life in itself. Are you traveling on the narrow path because of the rewards that you think you will get while you're on the path, instead of seeing the one who created the way? Who is the way? Who is the life? Who is the truth? The question maybe you should ask is, who is my traveling companion? Not just in life, but in faith. For many of us, we have traveling life companions, but we have very few faith companions. People we share the depths, the goodness, and the encouragement that they give back to us is not moral, theological deism or something like, oh, encouragement, like, you're doing good. It's, let's pray. Let's dig into the word. Let's practice the way of Jesus with one another. And maybe the question we ask ourselves is, where in life am I creating space for others to travel with me? Like, here's one of the things that we talk about. It's one thing that I have the desire to be traveling with one another. It's a whole different thing to create space to travel with people. That we look at our daily lives, the minutes and the hours, and we say this question, it's like, I really want to travel with people. I really want people and companions of faith who are going to encourage me when times are hard, or are going to be skipping with me when things are time to skip. But am I creating enough space in my life for people to travel with me? Is there space at my table? Is there space in my home? Is there space in my day that I can create space to walk with people? And then maybe this other question for some of you people that can run like a 6-minute mile. I'm looking at someone here who was a former runner, and it's just like when we do the global 6K, this person shoots out of the blocks, and then you're like, I'll see you in about an hour. And they're like, I just ran it twice. And I'm like, oh, dang. Or they come back to get you, and you're like, don't shame me. Like, please stop. But are you running so fast that no one can keep up? Are you even outpacing Jesus? Like, for real, like, you're like, I'm going to blaze this, and I'm going to do, and then you forget to become. Or am I standing still and everybody's passing me by? These are the questions we ask ourselves. That as we walk the narrow path, we understand that the narrow path is both hard and good. But we also know that we don't walk it alone. It is so much easier to get off the path when you're doing it alone. We also have to take a moment, and I think is Claire here? One of our students said it most beautifully. We live in such a fast-paced, productive, producing culture that we don't take the seconds and the moments it requires to reflect on where we are and where Christ is leading us to become. I've been sitting with that for weeks, trying to create space with my 3 kids to say, Jesus, what do you want to do with me today? Who's around me? Who's begging for my time that I'm just not seeing or hearing? Jesus, maybe you're longing, you're beckoning me at the beginning or the end of the day, however he's wired you, just to begin the day with him or end the day with him. But I'm so exhausted either in the morning or at night that I just go by and get whatever can produce just a little bit of stimulation in my life to start it or end it. The narrow path is a beautiful path, but it's one we got to do together. Would you stand and pray with me? Holy Spirit, you have been speaking this morning. You are speaking, and you will be speaking when we leave this place. God, as we said earlier, would you open our ears right now to hear? Holy Spirit, what are you saying to us? What word do you have for us this morning? Holy Spirit, what question that was prompted just moments earlier that we need to reflect on? Or God, Holy Spirit, what are you prompting a question in us? Where are you creating space for him? Who do we need to ask maybe today? Or maybe we need to renew a relationship of someone who is walking on the path. Maybe we need to say this morning, maybe you need to say this morning, that I want to walk with my fellow believers. How can I do that? Holy Spirit, you are our God and we are your people. Would you lead us day by day, step by step, moment by moment? In your name we pray. Amen.